For 5 years, the ATL Urbanist blog has been a go-to for many Atlantans interested in the effect our built environment has on city life. Now its creator, Darren Givens, has announced he's retiring the blog. He sat down with WABE to talk about what he's learned during his five-year deep dive into Atlanta urbanism, beginning with why he started the blog when he and his family first moved to downtown Atlanta from Midtown.
I actually started writing the blog just a few months before we made the move. You know, we didn't know of any other families with school-aged children living down there. And I was just really intrigued by the possibilities of being part of like a movement of families towards these sort of walkable urban neighborhoods.
So that was an issue that you were passionate about even then, even before moving downtown.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, I knew growing up in the suburbs of East Cobb that I wanted to live in a walkable city. And so this was the realization of a longtime dream of mine.
And it states on the blog, sort of front and center, front page, you're not an urban planner. You're not a pro. In fact, you do something else entirely for a living. Mm-hmm. How has doing this blog, you know, which has looked into so many issues related to making Atlanta a better place to live via its built environment, how has that expanded your world or sort of changed it in the years since you've been writing it?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a person who's been really interested in exploring these issues about placemaking and walkability and all of these concepts that were completely foreign to me before. And what I think that I've been able to do is put them in layman's terms because I only know layman's terms. I don't know the language of transportation engineering and all of these things. And so I've been able to explore these things in language that hopefully can appeal to a wider audience beyond just, you know, urban planners and make everybody understand about how shaping the city can affect so many parts of our lives.
You're wrapping up the blog with the series you're calling Seven Last Things, mm-hmm. and these are your parting thoughts mm-hmm. as you wrap up. And I'd like to talk through some of them. One issue you draw attention to is an interesting term. It's something that you call drive to urbanism. And it's something you say Atlantans shouldn't settle for, drive to urbanism. What do you mean by this term?
We've been building some really amazing places in the city over the past several years. Pont City Market, Glenwood Park, Atlantic Station. These are some of the most walkable spots in the city, mixed uses altogether. When you're inside one of these places, you can walk all around and experience lots of things that you would expect to experience in a big city. But getting from one of them to another or getting to them from outside of another neighborhood often requires a car or taking the bus. So trying to experience those places as a pedestrian or as a cyclist is really challenging and more challenging than it should be inside the middle of a city.
It's almost as if I hear you saying, you know, we can't leave it all up to the developers to create a good urban environment for us.
The thing is, the developers have actually been doing pretty darn good work. I mean, Pont City Market, what they did there is just as innovative as anything that architects do with a brand new building. I mean, they carved out that old Sears warehouse and distribution center and made something incredible out of it. What's lacking is what we're doing as far as the local government goes, as far as making those connections between the developments through the streets. We're not really on the same level as what the developers are doing at the city level.
In this particular post, you talk about the importance of focusing on streets as public spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it important to do that?
Tim Keene, the commissioner of planning, said this in the interview that I did with him. The streets are our most valuable public spaces. They're everywhere. They're outside of all of our buildings. And too often, they're really used primarily by cars, which is understandable on, you know, a lot of streets, but they should be more shared by pedestrians and transit users and bicyclists. And just that act of sharing in a street is just as important as sharing a public space in a park with the diversity of people you might find in Piedmont Park or something like that. We need to share these spaces amongst a diversity of mobility types, meaning cars and cyclists and pedestrians all together.
Now, in focusing on improving city streets for pedestrians and cyclists, is the city at risk of then alienating drivers?
Yes. Yeah, I think that as we're going forward in the city, we're going to have to expect that drivers are going to be inconvenienced a bit more than they have been in the past. And that's something that's going to happen whether or not we create new bike lanes or wider sidewalks just because of the population growth. Atlanta Regional Commission had a population growth figure that was pretty daunting that came out recently where by the year 2040 we're going to have 8.5 million people, and I think it was the figure, in the Atlanta region. And a lot of that growth is going to be in the suburbs, but some of it is going to be in the city as well. With all these people coming into the region, coming into the city, traffic's going to get worse. It's just going to happen. And we really can't in the city compete with the suburbs. We can't expand the way that they can in the suburbs. What we can do is compete on the level of a city, compete on the level of making things more walkable and easier to get around with on transit and on bicycle. That's really where we should be competing rather than trying to compete with the suburbs.
If you're going to be a city, just compete as a city.
Exactly.
You dedicate another of these final posts to quite a different kind of topic, and that's Atlanta's homelessness problem. Mm-hmm. And you write that there is actually a perception problem which leads to lack of action.
One of the things that was most surprising when we moved downtown was getting to see the problem of homelessness up close every day. And there's not a day that I walk out of our apartment that I don't see homeless people on the street. It's something that I didn't see before, even when we lived in Midtown, I mean, which is not that far away from downtown, because there's such a concentration of services for homeless people downtown that you just don't see homelessness outside of that area. And so I think that there is sort of an out of sight, out of mind thing going on among Atlantans. And so if you avoid going downtown and you live in Atlanta and you're a voter, you might not be as engaged on the issue as you should be. They're Atlantans. These mm-hmm. are our neighbors.
In another final post, Darren Givens, you urge Atlanta to fix the streetcar. Mm. The Atlanta streetcar on Auburn Avenue has been subject to a great deal of criticism in its first months. It's been called painfully slow. Mm-hmm. The route has been called limited. It's been said cars don't arrive frequently enough. Mm-hmm. And an AJC editorial even warned that it could become the kind of project that transit critics will cite for years to come as evidence against expansions of any kind. So you dedicated one of your final posts entirely to this issue. What mm-hmm. did you learn there?
Well, I can report from riding the streetcar downtown that they are making some headway on arrival times. The streetcar is actually running on schedule every 15 minutes most of the time, but it is empty a lot of the times that I see it go by, particularly at night. And I think that one of the big issues that we have with making a successful streetcar project here that could lead to an expansion is making sure that the land around the streetcar is what I would call streetcar appropriate, that these are land uses that lend themselves to a successful streetcar project. And you're not going to have that with all of the surface parking lots all along Auburn Avenue. And when Auburn Avenue turns into Lucky Street on the west side, it's just covered with parking decks and surface parking lots, which is at odds with people getting off of a streetcar and walking around and maybe looking for a restaurant or something to go to.
So it goes back to sort of what we were talking about earlier, which is just revitalizing particular streets and making mm-hmm. them comfortable, not just for cars speeding through, but for people having lives there. And a streetcar, it's supposed to be an experience, right?
Yeah. We need to make sure that this area is something that people would choose to walk around in and really enjoy the experience.
Another charge that you leave us with in one of your final ATL Urbanist columns is to talk openly about Atlanta's segregation by race and class. How could the city that calls itself too busy to hate become more open in our discussions? And how does this relate to good urbanism?
Something that I've done a lot in my blog is just look at all kinds of population demographics and all kinds of charts. So coming across all this data, it was really startling to me to see how segregated the city still is. We are separated by race and class in a way that really echoes some of the segregation era housing policies that have left what kind of looks like a scar on the city, where you have a largely white affluent section of the city in the northeast area, and you have these large swaths of largely black and largely low income areas on other parts of the city. And there are all kinds of negative things that happen when you have this level of segregation. There was some terrible statistic about the opportunity of a child born into poverty in Atlanta. The opportunity for that child to rise in economic class is like super low compared to other cities in the U.S. And it's a problem that's filled with so much history, and it's filled with so much conflict, and it's a very divisive subject to even talk about. But I think that we should be talking about it. We should be looking at this segregation and say, well, is this how we want to continue going forward?
And that relates very much to another of your final columns, in which you urge the importance of looking at the city with eyes that see the past, present, and future at the same time. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
A lot of times when we live in the city, we look at the way it is now and think that this is the way it's supposed to be, or this is the way that it's always been.
Like it's static.
Like it's static. Sometimes I'll hear from people who say, Atlanta is a car town, for instance. Why would we want to build more bike lanes or make it easier to get around for pedestrians? But the fact is, the city is always changing. The city is completely different now from what it was 50 years ago, and it's going to be completely different 50 years from now. Look at Copenhagen, for instance. Copenhagen was completely covered in its downtown area by car parking lots for a long time at the 20th century, but there was this huge bicycle movement, and now Copenhagen is like, you know, the bicycle capital of the world versus the capital of parking lots. And it was just a phase in the city that then changed.
And I'm seeing certain threads running through all of this. I mean, this idea of Atlanta's identity, you know, like Atlanta's identity as a car town, or the way things are with de facto segregation, or where our homeless population tends to be concentrated. Mm-hmm. Things like this, maybe a lot of us just sort of accept in the back of our minds as, well, that's Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing is, when we discuss these things and look at them as not identity, but as fluid states, things that can be affected by our actions, we can change them.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people don't understand how much we can change the way the city is shaped and the way the city works. There are all kinds of outlets for reaching out to local leaders through neighborhood planning units and neighborhood associations and public meetings, where we can make our voices heard and we can really take part in changing the city for the better. And we don't have to accept the status quo. I think that we can create a new identity for ourselves. We can be the city that overcame these hurdles.
Darren Givens, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.